we're back, guys.
Episode 44 of Black and a Half.
That's right. It's been a while.
It's been a while.
It really has.
I had a baby. No, well, not me and Manny. But, I'm Silas Lindenstein.
I'm Manny Martin.
Yeah, I was off. I had maternity baby.
Yeah, maternity leave.
Maternity leave.
Yeah, for a year.
Doing that. A year. Hasn't been that long. Yeah, we've been out doing our things. We're now filmmakers.
Yeah.
We are.
The Puzzle Master.
The Puzzle Master. You check out. Recently we made a 48-hour film project. It's called The Last. It's a short film. It's about 5.5 minutes long. It's called The Final Piece.
Yes.
I don't know. The judging hasn't been done yet, so I don't know.
It was great.
It could be award-winning.
Great experience.
Yeah, it's going to be. Yeah, so hopefully it'll be online soon. We'll tell you when it is. I directed. Manny did act in it.
Built a few puzzles.
Built some puzzles.
Did we even use?
We'll explain what we did.
Yeah. Did we use them all?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Well, yeah, you didn't come to the screening.
Oh, fair enough.
So you didn't see it.
Judgy,
man. Oh. We got that going on. Our guest today is
B motherfucking Runji.
B Runji.
Yes.
Also known as Burunji Burunji.
Yes.
If you know him on Facebook. Name so nice, he had to say it twice.
There you go.
He's not, drop that colonizer name. Right. Burunji. That's him. He's. I guess he's not Seattle's only.
Yeah, but he's legendary.
African comic.
Yeah. I mean, he's dope.
He's the only one with an accent. Abraham's from Africa, right?
Yeah, but he's not. Yeah, no accent.
I know. So he doesn't really count.
Yeah. He just says
Abraham doesn't count for a lot.
Yeah.
Abraham, why are you even here?
Go home.
Go back where you're from.
That's right, goddammit.
He's like, Wallingford? I got on him on here.
We experienced a little technical difficulty.
We did have a technical difficulty in the middle of this, but I think it's all fine now.
Yeah,
it's all works. Okay. It's a big interruption, but
we did miss a salary caps.
A good discussion.
It really was.
You know, we've had better discussions that I've messed up and not recorded. So, of all the discussions of this, she doesn't get to hear me get all moist about the Glow.
Yeah.
Show that I've been watching, but. Yeah, we're doing that. I don't know. We got to thank our sponsors.
Skyline
Properties. Thank you for letting us use the space. If you're interested in residential homes buying or selling, go to silasgetsreal.com, and I can help you out with that. And Manny, what do you got going on?
A lot of stuff applying.
Are you
for
at
festivals.
The
I'm going to be back at the Parlor. I took most of the summer off, but I'll be back in the next couple of weeks. Theo Vaughn from Road Rules.
Theo Vaughn. I loved when I found out he was a comic. I was like, what?
Crazy, right?
That's crazy. I remember him being Theo and seeing all the Road Rules versus.
I always wanted to be on a Road
Real
Rules
world
challenge.
Challenges and stuff.
Yeah. Pablo Francisco. Damon Wayans Jr. and Ron Funches. So
ooh,
fun.
Ron.
Yeah, man.
I love Ron.
Ah, good dude.
I knew Ron when he was a big guy.
Man,
now
we get you
lost
hosting that
all
one.
The way.
I know. Yeah, good for him.
Yeah.
But that's what Hollywood does to you. Jealous. They can get you trainers.
Yes. That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're shooting a sitcom and you only, you know, you're on half of the day, you can the rest of the day you can work
at
out.
At the gym and, probably
it's
still eat
like
whatever you want.
He doesn't have my problems.
You're right.
Real world problems
of self employment.
Right. Yeah. Sorry, Mr. Movie Star.
Yeah.
TV Star.
Well, today's episode.
Yeah. Burunji is a good guy. You learned a lot about him.
Definitely.
You'll probably change your life.
Yeah.
And make you, if you want your. He will personally help you arrange your Uganda travel.
Yes.
If you go there, he's going to take a side gig now as a travel agent because of all the publicity this is going to get.
Yeah.
Because he wants a cut of the money.
He's going to be a, international superstar after this. So
pretty much. The Russell Peters of Uganda.
Of Uganda. Yeah.
Like international.
You're going to say you knew him when.
Yes. Yeah. And you heard him here first on Black and a Half. So here we go. Episode number 44. Burunji.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by.
Do you guys have like a backup?
No, not at all. Like, not back then.
Damn.
So. We should now.
We should, yeah.
Just have a second one going.
Mike just going just in case.
Yeah.
Just in case, because I've got to learn things.
Yeah. You do any shows this week?
This week?
Or last week?
Last week, yeah, I did, I did an impromptu. Oh, wait, you were there. No.
Which one? I'm trying to think.
What day was that at the Underground?
Oh, shit, with Hollingsworth. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did great in the weekend. so there was one show,
yeah.
We all did great, but then there was one show that was fucking horrible. Was that the one with, no, you weren't there for that one, but it was a good weekend with Hollingsworth, man. He,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, it was weird, like. He's evolved so much past where I saw him last. And
yeah.
It was cool.
Is it like now he's a headliner?
I wouldn't say.
Holy crap. He's a headliner.
No,
you're
I mean.
On the podcast, you're going to come on and say, no, he's not a headliner.
Like, here's the thing. Like, he's always, in my mind, been a headliner.
Yeah.
But it's like, he's just lacking credits. That's all it is. So.
You think it's, okay, so we shot this horror film
mm-hmm.
a couple weekends ago.
Yeah.
Our 48-hour film project.
Right.
But, like, we did a number of the scenes at my house.
Yeah.
So when we're editing and I'm watching it, I'm watching this film, I'm like, that's my kitchen.
It's hard to dis.
Yeah.
The counter is dirty.
Well, I got cleaned for that. Got some work.
But it's interesting because you're the person who lives there. So
yeah.
For you, it's hard to suspend belief.
Right. Especially, you know, you have dead people in there. For the
right.
Horror, and I'm like, yeah, no, they're not.
It's not believable.
Besides me having filmed it,
right.
I know what it is really like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my freaking kitchen. I can't disassociate.
That's
that.
So interesting, right? Because I think about somebody like George Lucas. Like, if he was filming at his ranch and he's like, "Oh, I know where that is." Like,
yeah,
I can't suspend belief for that. But for us, we're like, "I've never seen that place before." So
yeah,
you know, it's good. Let me ask you, how do you feel directing your first?
It was, you know, it's a weird. Now I've gotten good feedback on it from
yeah.
people that came and saw the screening at the Sif Theater.
Mm.
Uptown Theater, because they did all the screenings there, which is also kind of cool. Your first thing that you do shows
yeah.
up on a big screen.
Yeah.
And like, oh, that's pretty cool. But, like, I just don't, like, I get why you go to film school.
Right.
Like, you go to film school so you get these first ones done out of the way.
Right.
Where nobody
yeah.
sees it. But it's like me doing my first film for the public.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, they get to see me fuck up. It's like if some fool put his open mic
on Netflix,
on YouTube.
Yeah,
yeah. Amateurs.
Rudy does that all the time.
I used to. I stopped.
You
doing
stopped?
It. No,
did
I,
you stop?
I. It was funny because a few weeks ago I was at a social event,
right?
AKA the club.
yeah.
And some dude approached me that I do not know. And
right.
He was actually coincidentally from Uganda.
Mm, mm-hmm.
And he's like, "Yo, what's up? I know who you are." I was like, "What?" He's like, "Oh, you do comedy." I'm like, "Okay, cool." He's like, "You don't put up stuff anymore." I was like, "Yeah. It's been like 2 years since."
Yeah.
Like, at the beginning, I put out something and it did well. And then I put up a couple after and they didn't do that well.
Right.
But then also I learned how, you know, the whole working materials thing.
Yeah,
so I stopped
yeah.
putting stuff up.
Yeah,
right.
It's good.
So he was asking for stuff, and I'm like, no.
It's yeah, pretty
I'm,
crazy, right?
I think you were the first guy I ever told to stop. I didn't tell.
Because
mm-hmm.
I was like, I was over helping people
yeah.
at that point. And so I was
yeah.
like, he'll learn.
Yeah, you know, it's fascinating.
It's,
I feel like I posted a few things like
yeah.
when I first started just because I wanted people to see I was doing comedy. But
man.
I didn't understand that it was like, oh, no, I'm supposed to kind of – there's supposed to be some sort of mystery to it.
Yeah.
You know, like when people show up, they want to see the joke for the first time and know the punches.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of like just take pictures, but not.
Yeah, I somehow knew that and only like sent it to people that lived out of state.
There you
like,
go.
Like privately.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I would send them something because I was like, I don't know. I'm not good yet.
although I'm going back on it. Yeah, we can talk about this later in the podcast.
What? You're going back to putting them up?
No, I'm reevaluating.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean.
Because, yeah.
It's, you know, here, so speaking, you know, with Jay, he used to do that. He used to wait till a bit where he felt like it was complete. Then he put it up on
mm-hmm.
YouTube and literally it would get like 100,000 hits. And,
yeah.
you know, so it's like you're slowly building your fan base, but sometimes it's just got to be a toss away joke, right?
Yeah.
So if it's something you don't plan on using for a special later.
Yeah. I wish I had some
yeah.
up that I've stopped using
because mm-hmm.
I don't like it anymore.
yeah.
Or like I was tired of it. And yeah. so I wish in the prime of that joke, while it was hitting
mm-hmm.
and going well, that I had recorded it
yeah.
and put it up and been like, yeah, like just that one joke. Or if I had a recording of it now, like if I found one that mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, I don't do that anymore. So yeah. I'm just going to put it up.
Yeah.
And so people, when people search for, because people say they search for me
yeah.
to find something, but then they hear about my, they find my moth presentation. Story of an abusive household, and they're like, oh, boy. That's not funny at all.
Do they find your, what is it, Up Late Northwest?
Yeah, that's on, that might be on there. I might yeah. link to that.
I don't
so
even
that,
like
that's
mine.
Better.
Mine yeah. is so like, ugh.
At least it's glitzy.
Yeah,
it's
it glitzy. Is. I mean, it's a good production.
I mean, yeah, your comedy was weak.
It
but,
was. It was,
but
it was shit. It was awful.
We're used to that. Though.
I want people to find the Kevin Hart one instead of finding the NBC
well,
one.
Yeah. You got
to
record it.
Right.
On a video. Like, it, let it play.
Yeah, yeah.
You're still on my TiVo. I'll okay. just record that.
You know what?
Put
I need
it on
to,
my channel as a.
Can you pull that off via, like, a thumb drive?
TiVo?
No?
Well, there's some ways, apparently, but you have to hack it.
Okay.
Sort of.
Damn, because I want to submit that to something. You know what I mean? Like, to see if I can get in a festival just based
Wait,
off
do you
that
have
clip.
It on your DVR?
No, because we got rid of Comcast.
Hmm.
And
That's
I,
hilarious.
I know, and I was like, eh, I'm going to go to YouTube TV, and it's only, like, 40
yeah.
bucks a month.
You can probably get it from somewhere.
I could probably, yeah, rip down. It. There's got to be something, right?
Though, yeah, I don't know if they want you submitting that to festivals.
Yeah, whatever.
I mean, it's their video.
It's yeah. their video, but still, it's like, if anything could get me a foot up
they
over,
own
you know,
you can blur.
They do, right?
Yeah.
So...
You should be able to. You know what? You just need to tell somebody what it is.
Yeah.
They'll go find it. And
yeah,
it.
There you go.
Get
yeah, yeah.
Copy.
Find me on this and shit. So, how many years you been doing comedy now, Perugia?
This is I think my third year.
How you liking it?
I like it. I say third year because I didn't mark. Most people mark like, oh, this is my first
yeah.
mic. This is my second mic. I didn't do any of that shit. I
yeah.
just got into it and then just kept going and then mm-hmm. I, you know, like inertia. Moving
right.
objects keep moving. Steel
totally.
Objects stay still. I've
right.
been moving. So.
There you go.
But did you have a mark as far as, like, do you know what day you did your first mic?
No.
You can't go back?
Okay. No.
Do
but
you know when you did your first one?
Yeah. yeah.
Okay.
I can trace it, though.
Mm-hmm.
You want to hear this?
Yeah. I want to
It's
hear
not
this.
That funny, but I think it was interesting. So I graduated from Seattle U.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a friend. It's a nice word to say. He's a wheelchair guy.
Okay,
he sits in a wheelchair all day.
Okay,
yeah. And
I think there's probably a term
disabled.
disabled. yeah.
Mobley.
Crippled.
Mobley.
No, yeah. Hey, he's a nice guy. Let's not.
yeah, yeah, right. He's a good guy. Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, he went to South Africa and mm-hmm. he had a great time. And he came back and he had this South African comedian friend of his come back to the U.S. And I actually took some classes with him at Seattle U.
Oh, okay.
And he had a dog. And this dog had been with him for like 10 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
So the dog was retiring. So they had a dog retirement party.
Holy shit, this is awesome.
yeah, so it was this dog association people.
Yeah.
So the crowd was mostly like over 40.
Okay.
And dogs. And then the South African comedian came in
yeah.
with his jokey jokes.
Right.
And then, yeah, and then I just happened to go to support.
Yeah.
And guess who was there performing?
Who?
Andrew Rivers.
Oh, shit. Oh, okay. Andrew's on everything. You
I know.
Catch him at house
yeah.
parties. Love that guy. Yeah.
So I was in the crowd. I'm like watching. And obviously, you know, you're going to struggle.
Right.
40-year-olds and dogs.
Mm-hmm.
60, if I'm being honest.
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So I watched it. And then after that, you know, after the show, I went to see Andrew sell his merch.
Yeah.
So I approached him. I asked him one or two questions.
Yeah.
I actually bought his CD.
Right.
Never listened to it. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, no, I think I bought
I have it, though.
I bought Miss Burroughs shit, and I never listened to it. Yeah, yeah.
So after that time, I got curious. I was like, man, mm-hmm. it's like this guy flew from South Africa, doesn't know these people, doesn't know the culture even.
Right.
Doesn't know dogs, but he stood up there. He ate it, but he did it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Andrew, you know, did his thing, too. And now, look, he's doing well now.
Yeah, man.
At the time, I couldn't see that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, after that, I was like, yeah, I got to try this.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think right after, if I can trace that day, which I could on Facebook.
Right.
I think a week after that is when I did my first open mic.
That's dope, man. Yeah. How'd the first open mic go?
So Andrew Rivers was your inspiration.
I never wanted to tell this story because he's going to take credit if I ever make
it. Yeah, seriously.
But yeah, first mic I thought was good.
Okay.
Actually, I think I heard, read, and I've seen this.
Mm-hmm.
The first 1 to 3 mics are usually generous to you.
Yeah. I would say so. I
generally
mean,
speaking.
If they know.
Yeah, know especially if they know, new. Yeah.
I remember my first 3 mics, and they went really, really well. It was the fourth one that I ate. And I was just like, what the fuck? I thought I was good.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, it's that is hilarious. Doing a fucking show for dogs, like, in the audience. Like I just would be pissed. Like, these dogs aren't laughing at shit, motherfucker.
The old people were not helping either. They were just like,
I just love the retirement party for dogs.
Yeah.
As if the dogs care.
Yeah.
You know, like, people do that. Like, birthday parties, whatnot. They're like, do the dogs care? No.
No.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's for you. It's for you to say bye to the dog, I guess. What was he going to go do? Like, here's a sad thing. I was just thinking retirement party, and I'm like, did they euthanize him after? Like, it's his going away party.
Right. Who was the first comic to inspire you?
Wait, like.
Like, I mean, like, that you saw live.
My first comedian ever saw, Ralphie May was the first person I ever saw live.
Okay.
But that was just at a show. Like, I didn't go do comedy because,
right?
Like, I saw them, like, oh, if he can do it,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, sure. If I had seen Andrew Rivers before comedy early on, I would have been like, yeah, I should do comedy.
Okay, just to clarify, I didn't mean it that way.
First local comics that I saw, it was a showcase night at Giggles, and everybody was going to go see Jeff Dye because, you know, he went to my rival school. He was our age. And I was like, all right, I'm going to go check this out. And it was him, Lucas Seeley, Harold Gomez, and, like, a bunch of – I think it was, like, Brian Moot and Andrew Slater. And, like, everybody did great. And I remember my buddy being like, you're that funny. You could at least do that well as some of those guys on there. I was like, all right, fuck it, we'll try it. And the rest is history, man. But, I mean, it was interesting to see those guys then to see them now.
The first local people
mm-hmm.
– the first – only one person is performing at the first show I did.
Mm-hmm.
I did an open mic up at a place called One Eyed Jack's
in
Linwood. Quincy Jones.
Oh,
he was hosting.
Yeah.
And the other people don't do comedy anymore. Doug Robinson.
Yeah.
Corey Just was his, like, third time.
Right.
He only did, like, 5 more mics and he was done. He beat me in that competition.
It was at the Gong. It was the Gong show, huh?
Yeah.
I did that show.
Yeah.
I got second place to a 1-hour Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Swear to God. Yeah, that was crazy. Yeah. I was like, yeah, my show was, whatever.
So I got third place that night.
Yeah.
I think.
Wait, what years are we talking here? 1994?
Yeah, this is like the 87. No, I'm just saying. I think it was like
7 years ago.
2000, yeah, like, or 2011?
Yeah.
2011?
Yeah. I started in, was it like 20 or
I think about that now. After hitting 7 years and then going like, and now realizing these people that had been doing it when I started. Like,
yeah.
Holy crap, you guys have been doing it like a decade now.
Yeah, that's crazy, like,
holy
man.
Holy crap.
Ooh.
It's
and
so
you're
weird.
Still nowhere.
Still not doing shit that much.
You're in the same place.
Finally got my
was.
Comedy Central fucking thing.
Congrats.
It's interesting, man. It's
I honestly expect like most people to be gone by now.
Yeah.
I'm actually surprised how many people are still here.
There's quite a few people who have
People peter off or they they become there's certain names that I always see that I'm like, I've never seen these people perform, but they talk to like Kermit or whatever.
Right.
I know that they exist, like they're comics.
Like you mean like big names or?
No, not big names, but just like local, like, I mean, whether they're former proc guys or like, you know, when Kermit and Gabe were coming up, they have all these friends that are like, oh, they're in Colorado now doing comedy or they're wherever.
Yeah.
You see their names pop up. Most of them quit, but they occasionally come back and do a set.
Go ahead.
It's one of those weird things because I've been thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Not like all the time, but it's like it's one of those things where people meet you and they're like, hey, yo, you're a football player, right? It's like, see you on TV, and then when you stop being on TV, it's like, yo, what's going on? It's like, are you still in the NFL or something like that?
Yeah, exactly.
and then you have to explain, you know, you're like, you know, misdemeanor or some shit or whatever it is. That's like, it's hard to explain.
It is. I mean,
yeah, like
you're at a perfect 3 years in is so nice.
If that's good, that's a sweet spot.
You're still like, oh, you're becoming like you're a top dog. Like,
yeah.
Like everyone knows, everyone brings you in.
Yeah.
You're getting on all these shows. Mm-hmm. It's not that hard to get time anymore. And then like. You still don't miss life yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. There's so much I just started realizing you're like five.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just miss, going to the movies
on
a Friday night instead of always having a show.
You know what's weird though is I've recently changed. Like, I think I went through like a whole year of no interaction with human beings.
It's crazy, right? It's like
with anybody or
yeah, because here's how it is. My job is I have a computer job.
Yeah.
So I sit in front of a computer. So I don't talk to nobody.
Yeah.
And then when I clock out, I would of course go to shows.
Yeah.
And or stay in and write.
Right.
So that was it. Like if I don't go to mic, I don't see people.
You don't see
other than my wife, that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
So
and then she comes home, and then you just start talking to her to get all your words out.
Yeah, either that. Yeah, like
and she's like, "Can you go out?
Do something with your life."
But I actually think if you can control it, it's good for you. Like recently, I've been hanging out with my friends again.
Yeah.
Hey,
dude, that's the craziest part. Is like I remember looking up like 3 years, 4 years in. I'm like, "Fuck, what happened to all my friends?" I'm like, "God damn, I don't have any friends." I was like, "I just have." Like my comedy buddies now, you know what I mean? And it's like, and it's so interesting because in this industry, like you may be acquaintances with people, but you're not genuine friends. Like Silas is my genuine friend. You know what I mean? I would say like Jay is, Chris is, but at the same time, it's
Jack.
Like, Jack. Oh yeah. Jack. Yeah.
Leave him out.
But it's like, you know, I feel like, God, life just gets so busy. You don't see any of these dudes anymore. And you're just literally a slave to the comedy. And you're like,
you are.
Did you realize, like, I suddenly realized how much time had passed, and I was like, I've been a shitty friend.
Oh, dude, that's how
like,
I feel.
Yeah.
How have I not hung out with this person in forever?
Years. And I
mean, it's
like,
show.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, they have kids now, and I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, dude, I missed out on everything. And
yeah.
Chappelle actually ran into that. He said, you know, he was like, fuck, I looked up 15 years, and it's like, everybody was gone, you know? It's
yeah.
Like, so.
But at the same time, I've reevaluated some of my friends, you know, because totally. people heat you up. They're like, oh, you want to go to the club? That's the weekend one. Weekend two, you want to go to the club?
Right.
Three, you want to go to? And I'm like, no, I'm going to mic or I'm going to a show.
Right.
I'm going to mic, I'm going to a show. And after a while, I realized I don't want to be at the club three like weekends in a row.
Yeah.
No, I definitely see that. Yeah, there are times like I've taken a lot of time off because of the baby, and there have been some nights that I've been like, I should be at a mic because, like, some of my friend, like, y'all just doing that again?
You're right.
Oh, that's the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I tried going to the club and it was weird.
It isn't it though? It's like, and especially like when you're married,
older, and married.
Yeah. Now I'm like a comedian. I look around. I'm like, okay, sticky bodies.
Yeah.
The floor is sticky too.
That's the thing. I start observing everything. Yeah. Right. I'm just like, okay, there's a new bit right there in the corner. There's this, you know, and it's like, you kind of feel. I don't know, like, this is going to sound really shitty, but you feel like you're above all these people, you know what I mean?
It is true.
I'm like, why am I in here with these motherfuckers?
Well, like, I don't know, I felt that way after the 48, too, like,
after the film festival, yeah.
After doing the film, I felt like, I made a movie this weekend, what'd you motherfuckers
exactly.
do?
Exactly.
Yeah.
What'd you do?
Yeah.
I made a movie, it's up there.
Yeah, I was like, I have 2 TV credits now, like.
Yeah,
I'm better than all of you human beings.
But just you know, you hear the people I do soccer refereeing occasionally.
Yeah,
and I don't do it all the time, but I get like emails from people who do it.
Yeah,
all the time.
Right.
And I guess they're probably the same.
Mm-hmm.
But like you know, then I meet my daughter's soccer, like the soccer parents on my daughter's team,
mm-hmm.
and like I hear a lot of them talk. And a lot of them are pretty boring.
Dude.
Like, right. They just go to work and then they bring the kids to the on the weekend.
And that's it. And then back to work.
Yeah, I don't know. Might go to the movie. Even though, like, Going to a movie is just such a... I went yesterday in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
Just like, I drove around to Lyft for a little morning. I was like, okay. Like, my daughter was at filmmaking camp.
Oh, right.
And so I was like, I have like, it's only 6 hours. So like, by the time I go home and then come back, and I'm like, okay, I'll just Lyft ride for a little. I lifted for like an hour and a half, and I was like,
I'm over.
I'm going to go to a movie.
Yeah.
So I went and saw a movie.
Yeah.
MoviePass was down, which was like, oh my God, I'm going to murder someone. I just paid for a movie.
Yeah.
I don't pay for movies.
How much is that again? I need to get that.
Well, it might be going away, but it's like 10 bucks a month.
Don't talk like that.
I hope not, man. So,
literally. It's 10 bucks a month. I paid 11 bucks to see the movie.
Isn't that crazy?
Because it was down.
I don't understand how they can do it. What's the...
Well, they buy the ticket. Usually, they're supposed to work out. The model is them working out discounts on tickets with these companies, because the idea is that we spend more money on concessions. By the way, I spend way more money on concessions now than I used to. Now that I've like,
that's
like
where they make all their
movies.
Money.
Yeah, so yeah. That's their incentive supposedly to take the movie pass and give them a discount, reimbursement. But man, movie pass the owning company of it, we just like. The stocks just plummeted for something.
What happened?
Something.
Oh,
I don't know, but they went from like, I guess they did. I don't even know what this means. You might.
Yeah.
Like they did a reverse stock sale. Like, you know, like a reverse split.
I'm not good with stocks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like usually when they.
I went to business school.
Okay. Yeah.
So when
I got
split, there.
Yeah. Well, like when
so
Facebook.
Man,
split,
I missed half the classes, but go ahead. Okay.
So usually when a stock splits, it's like, okay, so you had one share, so you have two now.
Right.
Okay. And it brings the price goes down a bit.
Right.
Now they did a reverse, which was like. 250 stocks equals one now. So they, I don't know how it works, but someone was like, I own 10 and now I own none because I don't have enough for a stock.
Gotcha.
But,
yeah.
So they did that. And the things were like, it was something at like, they were at like $20 a share. Yesterday morning, they were at
$2.83.
Wow.
Like they've, I don't know what they did. I don't know what they own besides MoviePass.
Yeah.
But they just tanked.
Oh.
And I was like, I was about to buy,
yeah,
because 2 years ago I was kind of playing with stocks a bit, and companies I was buying, like WWE, I would buy it and hold it for like a week and then sell it.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make like, I was making a few dollars off of each one, did that with Netflix, I did it. All these fucking companies, after I stopped playing with them, in the middle of it,
fuck off. You had Netflix?
Dude, I was buying and selling Netflix at like, I would buy it at like 89 and sell it at 95 because it kept fluctuating. Like
wait, 89 cents?
$89.
$89. Oh, okay.
And now it's like 380 something. They're like, I mean, some of these are crazy. But I wasn't doing day trading. It was like a few days because there's laws so that I wouldn't have to be a day trader.
Right.
Wait certain amounts of time.
You're not sitting on money right now.
if I had more, but I was only playing with like, I mean, I had like $500 I was playing with.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, I was going to buy this. And then it was kind of fun. It was just a fun thing I did while I was like delivering packages.
Right.
Waiting for orders. I'd be like looking through stocks. And I'm like, oh. And so I was like, I should get. What I learned was like the stuff that I'm really into ends up being invaluable. Because I like it, so a lot of people like it. So
like you porn and stuff.
Even they're not public yet. They're pubic now.
They're not quite public.
Pubic market.
Hilarious.
So like even Twitter, like I was like, oh, I'm buying Twitter, and this guy who was showing me how to use it, he's like, oh, big mistake, rookie mistake, buying Twitter. It's not worth anything. I'm like, oh crap. And so that was the only thing I sold at a slight loss of a couple dollars.
And then it blew up.
Yeah, 2 months later, it blew up. Like, Jesus. They did something, and it went up to, like, 35 again. Like,
that's the thing. It's like,
not listening to you people.
Yeah.
Go with my gut. Just like comedy.
I'm saying.
I don't care if anyone laughs. I know it's funny.
Right? I meant to ask you. Like,
yeah.
Have you had the moment yet where you have a great weekend, you kill, and then all of a sudden it's right back to work and they treat you like shit? You know what I mean? Like,
he works by himself.
That's true. I mean, but do you have a boss?
No, but yeah. It happens all the time.
Yeah, man.
It happens all the time. It almost gets you to question. You're like,
why am I here?
Why am I here? It's weird, though, because I haven't told everybody at work.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's two sides of this.
Oh, okay.
I haven't. Yeah, like I haven't invited anyone from work to my show.
Right.
But we had a talent show.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Did you do comedy at
in front of the...
Show?
Yeah.
Did HR have to call you in?
Yeah. No, it actually went well.
Nice.
It went well, but what I did was, after the show, mm-hmm. I have this thing where I can just go from 100 to, like, 200 or vice versa.
Yeah.
So the next few days, I didn't come to their office for, like, 2-3 days, so they could forget.
Yeah.
And then after that, I just come in and I keep a straight face.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, we're not talking about it.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
Someone's like, oh, what comedy show? I'm like, no, I'm doing work right now. And it works. Some dude, when I was hanging out with him the other day, he's like, man, you're really funny, but you're also really serious.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. I'm here to work and get out.
Seriously.
Yeah. There. But
why aren't you? I remember meeting with the owner of the AFK in Kent.
Yeah,
and they had that there, and I mean, I set up a meeting to get, talk about doing a comedy show there, and I go in, and like after a half hour, she's like, "I thought you'd be like really like just funny," and, and I was like, "I'm here to set up a deal."
Yeah,
so I was like, I don't know, she was expecting me to come in with a top hat and a monocle. I'm ready to dance.
Yeah,
he's a party. Like, no, we're just. Yeah, this is what I'm offering you. This is how much you're going to make, and this is what we're going to take. And how's this sound?
Yeah,
like it's not. People expect you, like, just to. But I had the. Were you the funny guy in your crowd, or at the office before,
or in your like class, or in college?
Because I've always found that I look back and I like, oh, people would comment about that. I was like. I don't know if it's an office clown or whatever. But.
I wouldn't say. Back in school, which was a whole different culture and everything, yes, a little bit of a class clown, but not like clown.
You're right.
More like every once in a while.
Just
say something subtle. Just like one word.
You're right.
Yeah, I wasn't the noisemaker, like the guy who like pisses teachers off and stuff. It was just like once in a while.
That was me.
But as far as here, like in offices and college and whatever, I would just say something outlandish, and people like their brains would just explode. They'd be like, "Did he just say that? Did he just say that?" You know, like this one time, this one the office was packed. It was about this size, and we had people from out of town. It's like way too many people for a small room, like 12 people,
right?
And then this one female coworker from out of town. Shows up, she's like, "Hey, what's up?" She's the happy kind.
Yeah.
"Oh my God, how are you? It's like, "Oh my God." And then she's like, "Oh yeah, I've been," someone asked her about, you know, her regimen and stuff. She's like, "Yeah, I've been working out." And I was like, "Oh, I couldn't tell."
Oh.
The whole room exploded. It wasn't that exact line, but something along
that. Something along
that. And the whole room exploded.
Hilarious.
And then, of course, after that, they went to HR mode where they're like, "Was that, you know?" And then she's a good sport.
Yeah.
So she liked it, but also she, you know.
So
that is me.
Okay.
At work, it's like. Every once in a while, just throw it out there, and but not like constant, like
right,
okay. So I have a question. I think I've talked to you about this offline before, but like, so you immigrate. When did you immigrate to the U.S.?
2008.
Yeah. So, has there been? Have you had to have any sort of difference in like when you process a joke? Is there a difference between the U.S. humor and what was the country?
Uganda. Yeah.
Uganda.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, is there a sense of humor that's much different that you had to
Absolutely. Shift? Absolutely. I'll give you context for this. Okay. So 2008 is when I got here.
Right. Obama was coming in. You were like, I'm about to get in here.
You were like everyone's fear. You were like all the racist fear. Like, we got a black president. Now everyone's going to all the black people.
They're coming in.
He was elected. Yeah. Everyone's buying their tickets. And yeah. They're like, yes, right.
Yeah, it's Obama.
He's going to give us all
aid. Yeah. So I was very like raw.
Yeah.
So much so that, you know, when I was in college, I had this white friend of mine. Mm-hmm. She lived on my floor.
Okay.
And, you know, one evening we're hanging out. She's like, "Oh, man, you got to see this. Chris Rock. Raw."
Oh, okay.
And Kill the Messenger. One of those.
Yeah.
Blacker than black. you know, the classic Chris Rock.
Yeah.
She's like, you're going to love this.
Yeah.
She puts it in, and we watch it like an hour, and I was like,
I don't get it.
This is whack, man.
Yeah.
Dude is just cursing all over the place. Mm-hmm. Nigga this, nigga that. I was like, you call this comedy? And you know how it switches, you know, Chris Rock in New York, Chris Rock in South Africa.
That's right, yeah.
And I was like, I'm supposed to get this, but I'm not getting it.
Where he's like, Johannesburg. And this.
Yeah. And then fast forward like a year later, I got high, like really high for the first time.
Uh-huh.
And then my friend's like, oh, come watch this. He put on Russell Peters.
Oh, okay.
I died.
Yeah.
I died. Like, we're sitting on bunk beds. And I just almost fell off from the top one to the bottom. And I was like, oh, how come I can get that, but I can't get the other one?
Right.
And then, of course, it was, you know, Russell was talking about, you know, Asians and Africans and Jamaicans. And whereas Chris was more American-centric.
That's, yeah.
Russ Peters is known as an international comedian.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, yeah, I've had to bridge that gap, and I think now I kind of get both.
Yeah.
Does the, does anyone care if you use the N-word? I mean, like, in Uganda, does it mean anything to anyone?
No. No. It's,
you get called, if some white guy calls someone that, are they like, what?
Do they react,
or do they know that it's an insult?
No.
Okay.
I mean, no. They don't have the...
Doesn't carry the same weight.
It doesn't carry the same weight, but also they don't know the history.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't know the history.
Here's an idea. This is an idea for a charity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a charity for racists.
Right.
You give them a flight to, like, Uganda,
mm-hmm.
where they can go and just say, nigga. Like, nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Where they can just, like, call black people nigga. Right. Nobody cares. They're like, this is the best country in the world.
Right. It's like their heads explode because
like,
it has
them. It's like the Purge, but for the N-word. Like, they just have to go. They get to use it. They come back. They're all like,
I'm okay now. I'm ready to go to work.
All right.
It's so funny. Just going back to the whole Russell Peters thing with Chris Rock. I mean, I literally, you know, these people found out when me and my wife were on a honeymoon in, where were we at? St. Lucia. They're like, would you tell some jokes? And I was like, no, because nothing. The context isn't there. Nobody's experience, like everything that I have is the U.S. experience. You know what I mean? So it's like, when I was hitting them with jokes, they were like, yeah, we don't get it. And I was like, yeah, exactly. You wouldn't. Like, you don't live in you never live in California, you never live in Washington, so you wouldn't get this. But, like, Russell genuinely just talks about the experience of having, like, immigrant parents, you know, all this other. And I mean, that's Russell's truth.
It's interesting because where I grew up, for instance, I had one of my aunties. Do you pronounce it auntie?
Yeah.
I'm going to mispronounce it.
I think it's
one of my aunts.
I think it's both.
Yeah.
Both in the U.S.
Yeah, one of my aunts got married to a Pakistani man.
Right.
I think you should say auntie. When you say the other one, it sounds a little derogatory.
What does it sound like?
Aunt?
What
aunt?
Mm. Aunt?
Aunt?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Don't put a C in front
cunt.
Of it.
Yeah. Oh.
You should say auntie.
Auntie. Yeah, one of my aunties was married to a Pakistani man.
Right.
And I actually grew up in that household for quite a bit.
Oh, no shit. Okay.
Yeah. And then, you know, went to school in the city.
Right.
Where there was all these other different groups.
Mm-hmm.
So by default, I would, like, kind of like what Russell talks about, or like his starting point was...
Right.
I had Jamaican friends.
Right.
I had my white Canadian friends. Mm-hmm. And then I had my Indian parents.
Right. You know, that's the thing. Like, even, like, not name drop, but hanging out with Russell, like, he, his whole crew is Mexican, black, and white. You know, so he's got everybody around him when he, like, travels. So, I mean, it makes sense. So.
Yeah.
Now, did you hate white people before you came to America? I mean, are there people in Uganda?
For the record, I don't hate white
people. I know.
Have you taken your wife back home?
Why not? Have you not met her?
I have, yeah. No, it's funny you ask that because people don't... So imagine living like where I lived, where like 98% of the people. Again, I'd say that I had some diversity in my life, but that's me.
Right.
My friends, no.
Mm-hmm.
98% of the people in your life are one thing.
Right.
Your janitor, your driver, your teacher,
mm-hmm.
your headmaster, whatever, everybody, your desk mate, everybody's wanting.
Yeah.
And then you switch over.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's this whole different thing. Mm-hmm. And not just the whole thing, but whatever comes with it.
Right.
How do you know who to look down on? Everybody's the same. Is that where you hate someone like, oh, no.
Oh, trust me. You figure it out.
So, I mean, so when you're, in Uganda, is it like, are there like, is it more of a socioeconomical type thing?
Yeah,
yeah. So there's the poor versus the rich?
The thing about human beings is very, the thing that is interesting about human beings is we'll figure out a way.
Right.
Nose, eyes, whatever it is, hair.
Oh, shit.
I just took a... I took a Uber, Lyft, with a guy from Eritrea right now.
Mm.
Okay.
And we talked, you know, we had a good talk. It was like a 10-minute talk. And I asked him, I don't know if you know the relationship between Ethiopia and Eritrea.
Yeah.
I know it's not a happy, shiny one, right?
He's like, oh, now we're in good terms.
Okay.
It's like recently they got together. They signed some documents. They're like, we're going to get along.
Right.
And I was like, oh, how long?
They were like, we're all the captains.
Yeah. Anyway, he was like, oh, we're in peace now. And I was like, how long has it been? He's like, 1 month. That's huge for them.
It's amazing to me, though, that people in the U.S., I mean, they're living here in the U.S., working, that they even care.
Yeah.
Like there's a political dynamic between the two. Like, oh, no, we're at peace now. Like, that's what trips me out. Like, and I wonder, like, if I emigrated to Italy.
Would you give a shit about what's going on here in the U.S.?
Russia and
U.S.?
I mean, I think maybe that's because they're bigger powers that, you know, you're kind of like, well, fuck, if those two get together, then
who's
we're all screwed.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah, but anyway, I asked this dude. I was like, "Okay, what's the difference between an Eritrean and an Ethiopian?"
Right.
I was like, "Let's go through the list." Mm-hmm. Food. Mm-hmm. It's like it's all the same.
Right.
Language, minor difference, but basically the same roots.
Right.
Music, almost the same. I asked him a bunch of questions, and I was like, "So what's the difference?"
Yeah.
He's like, "Country."
Wow.
Like country, like it's just
borders.
Borders.
Wow.
And that was a made-up border by colonizers, right?
Yes and no. Yes and no. Some of it...
Is there a natural...
Was it villages
border?
Or...?
No, it's complicated. But basically, it's like, yes, the colonial powers put in their lines, but then we put in our lines, too, after they were
gone. Oh, okay. It's one...
Because I know there's a lot of countries that are big in Africa that are messed up because of the random drawings instead of by... the people or something that would naturally like, oh, here's a good stopping point for this country. They're like, oh, now these two naturally can hate each other.
Yeah. I mean, when the colonial guys came in, I think Africa was probably divided into, if I'm being conservative, maybe 10 pieces.
Okay.
Now it's 56.
Yeah. Damn.
56 and counting.
Right.
They're still breaking.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
It's trippy. But you're talking about Uganda, like everyone looks the same. I was like, wow.
Oh, actually,
is that
no.
What white people look like?
Yeah.
So what? Like when you say no?
No. We look the same in terms of darkness, but even that, we look different.
Yeah.
You know. So like, I'm from the West.
Right.
Western Ugandans are usually lighter skin. So, if you're in Uganda, you'd come from the West.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. So, do people hate on the lighter skin, or is it?
Generally, yes.
Okay. All right.
But not entirely, but generally, yes.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the darker people from the north side of Uganda. And traditionally, that's been the oppressed group.
Oh, okay.
Those are the guys who fight in the military.
Oh, shit.
Those are the guys. It's like Kony 2012.
Yeah.
That's where that was from.
Damn.
The north side.
Oh, shit.
They've probably had one president. We've had the light-skinned guys. Anyway, so there are some differences even within the country.
Oh, the dark skin is the oppressor?
No. The caste. I think it's called the caste system.
Yeah.
Caste. Mm-hmm. Like in light skin
like in
is.
India, yeah.
Yeah. Whiter is right.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, it's like, damn, even in, like, Africa, I mean, You know, it's weird. I went to Morocco and like I was darker than everybody else, but everybody else was super nice to me. You know what I mean? But I think it's because I had money and shit. You know what I mean? It's like the tipping motherfuckers. It's like,
yeah.
So, but they all thought I was Moroccan. I was like, really?
What?
I was like,
they just said that.
They probably were. They were
Heard like pretty much everywhere else can spot an American like in 2 seconds.
They thought I was half Moroccan or something.
It's confusing roots. When I tell people this and sometimes they don't believe me, but there's something, especially in Seattle, where the weather's cold. It does something to you.
Right.
You know, like when I went back out, I didn't look the same. Mm. Like people would approach me and they're like, huh.
Oh, you probably were lighter, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because you didn't get as much sun. Because when I was in California, when I grew up, I was a lot darker. You know what I mean? Yeah. You're always in the sun. You're always playing. You're always doing something. But when I'm up here, like, my pigment definitely got lighter. You know,
yeah, right? Yeah. So people would approach me and they were not sure what they were dealing with.
Like the fast food belly. You ain't from here.
These fat muddy fuckers.
Yeah, I know. They were ripping us off, man.
Really?
Because they thought I was from here or somewhere else.
And so they're charging you extra and you're like, come on, man. Let's not.
Yeah, yeah. Thing. I'll get those the scooters.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the guy would be like, 5,000 for a ride that's supposed to be like 200.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'll be like, come out, speak the language. Yeah, and he's like, oh, you're one of us. And what threw them off was, what actually made it worse was when I was with my wife.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah. Once they see a white person, they're like, oh, man, these guys got
money. They got
money,
yeah.
So what I started doing is I would hide my wife.
Yeah, yeah.
Before I request the taxi or whatever it is, I'd be like, yo, hide behind that tree.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd go and be like, yo.
That's hilarious.
And it worked. It worked.
That's
yeah.
great.
That'd be great in a movie, right?
That really would be.
You're going to charge.
Yeah, let's write that script called The Trip Home. That shit would be hilarious.
Oh, man.
Good
times. That's a really good idea.
That is. We'll write it. Copyright. Yeah, we're copyrighting it right here. Yeah.
Black and Half Productions.
Yep.
Presents.
Birungi in The Trip Home.
Is there a level? Do you think there's a level of of money where you're like, I'm so rich.
Yeah.
I'm going to. Well, we consider third world country. Like, I'm not going to go vacation in. I could go to the Virgin Islands. But
yeah.
You know what? I got so much money. I'm going on a safari.
I'm going to Iraq.
I'm going to,
I don't know.
That would be interesting.
I saw online the other day that, you know, Afghanistan got some good spots.
Really?
Yeah.
You're bullshitting.
They do. Of course,
I saw.
Risking your life.
Yeah, I saw a crazy documentary where they, these people are, they search for the most dangerous places to get an adrenaline rush. So
yeah.
They're going to the front lines of like Aleppo and all this.
Oh, dark tourism.
Yeah, dark tourism. Jeez. That shit. Why?
Nah, that's
like, you know what I mean? It's already hard enough being black.
They go to places where like a murderer is known or like they meet a murderer.
Jeez.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm feeling guilty right now. I feel bad that I called your home a third world country.
It is. Well, no. By definition, it is.
I'm suddenly saying self-conscious about that I said that.
No.
Like
no.
Boston ain't some.
No. You should.
Like Boston's some glorious place.
No. I don't think you should.
I don't want to sound like it's Alabama
No, it is.
That's third world.
No. I think by definition it is third world.
Right.
By the definitions that we've been given,
yeah,
it is, and you're not wrong.
Yeah.
So as far as technology goes, like right now,
yeah.
Does anybody have like PlayStation 4 in the house? Because like, you know what I mean? It's like when I show up to like some places,
sure,
like
right?
I literally want to like when I was in St. Lucia, I was like, damn, nobody has anything out here. But you know, they're enjoying life. Don't give them. I don't want to like. I was thinking, like, if I had millions of dollars, I'd be like, everybody gets a PlayStation 4 here. All the kids and
now
stuff.
Now stay inside.
Right?
Yeah.
Get
well, what's
fat.
What's interesting about places like that is how they skip technology.
Right.
They only mostly have stuff they need.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like,
internet,
mobile phones. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, I forget what the numbers are, but mobile, like, transfers of money.
Yeah.
Way higher than the rest of the world.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like billions of dollars. I'm not talking shillings. Dollars.
Okay.
Being transmitted via phones before we started doing it here with Venmo and
oh,
all
shit.
This stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because they skipped the whole my online banking, whatever it is.
Yeah,
we're doing, they just skip.
I'm always thinking of like those scams that you get online. Because like, who was it? Somebody had this joke that he was doing about Somebody from Nigeria sent him this thing about he was like, I'm a Nigerian prince and I'm stuck in the space program. We don't have enough money to bring me down. So he was like, I'll give you $20 just to finish that story. It's hilarious.
I've been binging on The Flash from last season.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't get into it.
Oh, it got so good.
Did it get better?
My daughter and I were like, we watched the show together, but we mm-hmm. got delayed with a lot of stuff. So this last week, now that she's on vacation, we're watching a lot more TV.
Cause
I'm a good dad. So she's at camp all day. And we're going to catch up. And so we just finished, and part of it ended up being this guy with this anti-technology thing. And I was like, you're talking about this. And I was like, you know what? He's evil and stuff, but there's a point of, God, technology's awful. Like, how much would I get done if I didn't have the option of Netflix and PlayStation every night?
Well,
where I have this book that I just bought that I want to read really bad, but I'm like, well, I don't know.
Let me just audio.
Not even audio, but I'll read the book. It's just, but I'm like, instead I watch some stupid Netflix web series that I'm not even that into.
Yeah.
And like you said, in the islands that they have, what do they need?
It's so crazy. But even like kids now, with my buddy has a 2-year-old who, whenever he's a terror, they just put the iPad in front of him. So it's like we're teaching him from a young age that, you tune out.
I needed to go to physical therapy.
Yeah.
I was either bring the daughter to daycare.
Right.
For, if I did a half day, it would be like $30 or $60 for the day.
Right.
Just so that I can go
pay another $30 or $40 bucks to.
Well, this is for the accident, so someone else is paying.
Oh, that's cool. There you go.
But I still have to pay this $30 out of pocket right now.
Right.
So that they'll watch my kid while I get physical therapy. So what I did, I just handed her my phone, put on Moana on Netflix. While I went over and did all my stretching with the guy. And I'm like, I'm horrible. I'm doing everything I said I wouldn't do.
But there comes a time.
Oh, my gosh. It makes I can get dinner done so much faster when someone's not bugging
They're
me.
Distracted.
So I can make this fatty meal for her. Go watch some TV while I make this fat for you.
For real.
Yeah. It's crazy. The one that kind of gets me thinking is as far as the attention spans.
Yeah.
It's like I can't believe it. When you binge watch a show, it's like back in the day, watching one movie that was like 50 minutes long was like an occasion.
Yeah.
And you had to find the time, you had to do it. And now you watch like 3 seasons in one sitting.
Right, dude.
That's like 50 times.
Yeah, my wife just literally finished the show called Glow. Dude,
I haven't watched that.
So I haven't watched it all yet, but because I was falling asleep because I work, and then I got comedy. So I'm
like your wife.
I know, right? Yeah, I'm almost like, damn.
I work for a living.
She gets up at like 9, right? So it's like she literally gets to stay up late, watch all this
what
shit.
What does she do?
She's a manager of a boutique, right?
Oh, okay.
So now she gets to go in from this hour to this hour, but when I get off, I've already been off for like however long. I go to the gym, try to do some stuff. But it's like, I only can like stay away for an hour and watch this shit. But she literally stays up till 3 in the fucking morning. And she's like, it's so good. You have to watch it.
We were on. Hold on.
Okay. Get back up. All right. So here's what happened, folks. Screech and halt. So you're just talking about Glow here. I'd like to say there was an earthquake or something that was not my fault, but. Again, another show where my card got full, and it's driving me freaking crazy. Maybe some listener here, can tell me what's going on. Now, Glow, we were talking about Glow. It's wonderful. I love the show so much. That's amazing. All night. Manny's wife's up all night. It's a coincidence. There's nothing going on. We're both watching the show. We both love it. And then we talked about how they all hurt themselves, and then we talked about the sports people hurting themselves.
Oh. And we're talking about MLS, and we're talking about the different salaries
and stuff.
Yeah.
And so it was a great conversation, but it's all gone now. but if somebody could explain to me why, now that I'm using a Mac, I switched to a Mac a little while ago, when I delete files off of a folder, off of a SD card, they delete them, but it doesn't make the room free.
That's weird, right?
Yeah, like when I use a PC, it was always just, I delete the file, suddenly I have that room's free to use.
I feel like
I have to reformat the card every time now.
Oh, God.
And I didn't. Yeah. I forgot to reformat it.
Oh, whatever.
And Steve Jobs. That's why apparently I only had 46 minutes left.
How many do we have this time?
Now I have
got 2 seconds. And we're out.
I've got
got to speak quickly.
46 hours.
Oh, shit. Fair enough.
On this one.
Do a marathon on this one.
We'll go till Sunday.
So somebody, if you know, if you're a technophile, I guess, is that the thing?
Yeah, message us.
Sure, Stephen Ward. Let me know. Yeah, let me know what's going on. He knows, but you know what? It's funny. Stephen Ward, big listener here. He's a former open mic comic. He's retired.
Yeah.
Pun master.
Amazing puns.
Amazing pun. I assumed that he was just this dorky computer guy because he's a game tester for Nintendo for the last like 20 years.
No, he's like the big shit over there.
Right. Yeah. But no, he doesn't. That's all he knows for technology. He knows how to play Nintendo. He doesn't know all the other stuff. He's like, I would ask him questions. He's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I was assuming he was like this total like computer nerd.
Blowing the cartridge.
No,
that's
he knows
how
to do the one. Like, I know how to test. Like, you know, and I was like, oh, that's real prejudice to me. I'm just assuming people know. That's
right.
And then also like that he's like, oh, he must be into all these other nerd things. Mm-hmm. No, he likes Nintendo. Barely pays his bills.
Nintendo athlete.
Otherwise, no. He's more into sports. He's a big baseball fan.
He loves baseball.
We're
actually supposed to be doing like a family event where he takes his kids and I bring the wife. And shit, maybe you should bring Gretchen.
No, thanks for including me in this. I appreciate that. I mean,
Mariners. So, but they're sucking ass again. So it's like
they are.
What
they started losing again. So I don't know.
But they're heading to the playoffs, right?
It depends. Like.
Seriously, they might not make it now.
I don't know. We'll see. I'm keeping hope alive, but it's like they started going into a losing slump.
Man, and you would think people that make like it's like I believe it's like a $500,000. I mean, just off the top of my head,
being paid to lose.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I mean, they get. Yeah, you think.
Can you imagine that though? Just sitting the bench and making $500,000 a year. I mean, I would just make smart moves after that point. I'm like, I'm investing. I'm doing this.
First time I had a job and I was getting paid $17 an hour full time here. And first time I got like Memorial Day off, I thought I was the shit.
Right.
I'm like, I'm getting paid to be at the beach.
Yeah, man.
17, and I mean, not a real beach, Golden Gardens. Right. You know, but,
it counts.
Awesome.
Seattle.
Yeah.
Washington.
Right.
I'm more comfortable like being self-employed now. Like, I mean, I know I don't get paid unless I'm working.
Yeah.
I mean, so there's a little. I don't know. Sometimes I wish I was, but
that
I'm
freedom,
like,
though, man.
No, it's the freedom because I'm like, I go and do a podcast,
dude.
Yeah. I'm like, whatever. Do what I want. But it is
I'm
nice.
Jealous sometimes.
But sometimes when I'm with my wife, it's nice. Like we're off and like, well, you're getting paid.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Vacation time.
Oh, nice.
So
yeah.
Oh yeah.
She's earning it.
Hmm. So you guys thinking about any kids?
Well, that's a
whoa!
Have to go
everybody's asking us.
Dimunji just walked out.
Dude, that's it's like
nobody's people, asking me anymore.
I know. Yeah, you've already got three.
Silent. It's a different tone. Are you gonna have more kids?
Yeah. Are you going to get fixed?
Just visit my
put your dick on ice.
Right.
Go see my GoFundMe.
There you go. I need to support my kids.
SnipSilas. .com.
/ real estate.
I'm getting that taken care of soon. I just gotta. Oh,
there you go.
I just gotta go to the doctor.
But
I'm reminded every morning.
I know a guy. He does it cheap.
You did this to me, you shit.
We got good insurance.
That's
good insurance. So it should be. Oh, they're more than happy to do that. That's a free service. They don't want to pay.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get someone pregnant.
Yeah. That's
they want to not pay for that. So they're.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we've talked about it.
Yeah.
We've been married 5 years now.
Five years? Okay.
5 years as of last month. Nice. Yeah.
What name would they have?
Was that
you only have one name? Would it be Brunji, Brunji, Brunji? Like give them three?
No, take one from me. Take one from their mother.
Oh, there
you
go. Okay,
maybe. Yeah,
you should have one of mine. I don't want any more kids. Well, they can have my last name.
Yeah,
it out.
It's weird because my wife and I did not exchange names.
Oh, okay.
I mean, she was open to it. I was not.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I just like the individuality. I'm like, you keep your name, I keep my name.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, it's a...
Makes the divorce cleaner.
What?
You know, that's true. You don't have to do all the Social Security stuff, and she didn't have to do all the ID stuff, which must have been nice.
You know, because that's even a little like, there's ways that when you get divorced that smart you.
Right.
Like the first time I got an email from my ex with her new email,
mm-hmm.
with her old name. Okay. All right. We're there then. Okay. So, you know, remember your old email had my name in it. I guess it doesn't now. So.
Wait. You were married before?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's my second marriage.
I didn't know this.
No, I'm on the, right now I'm on the
second life.
Successful one, I guess.
Yeah.
Because it's still going.
How long was the first one?
11 years. So,
jeez. Yeah. How long is this one?
We're on 6 years now.
Oh, okay.
None of them overlap.
How much of a gap between the first and the second?
2 months? No, I got divorced in 2009. Well, we broke up in 2009. It was over in 2009 in June. I met my wife in
July of 2009.
That's an overlap.
First time I met her was August, but I
didn't. Oh, there you go. Right.
We didn't go on a date until November.
And you were her dance.
He's correct. Stretching the months out. Right. Exactly.
I signed the divorce paper,
right.
And I called her.
He's there you go.
He's like November 32nd.
And then we got married 6 years ago. So
that's right.
Oh,
that was a great wedding.
December.
Yeah.
12.
12. Okay.
So there was a 3 year.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. I've
3 years between marriages.
When was your last time you were like single for a long time?
Jeez.
Actually, no. I guess after when you split up from the first wife.
Like, that wasn't a long time. I was single. Yeah, no. Well, I mean, single by not married.
Yeah, yeah.
I jumped into another relationship with a young woman that I didn't think anything was gonna, I didn't think it was going to go anywhere. She's too young for me.
Yeah.
It's like, I'll have fun. This right. will be fine. I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know I was getting into the next marriage right there.
How was it going? Getting back into the game after being out of the game?
Oh, yeah. Stressful, man.
Was it?
I don't know. I wish, well, okay, I was in
That's
that.
That's why I don't think I can get a divorce. I'm too lazy for shit.
Look, I don't know what would have happened, like, because, you know, got divorced. I lost a lot of weight, you know, good depression, you know, diet.
Right.
You're feeling good, looking good, you're out there. But I got divorced before Tinder existed.
Oh, okay.
There was like, I joined Cupid, whatever.
Okay, Cupid.
Yeah.
So, like, I didn't know. And I had the kids at the time. I was like, no one's going to want me. Because I made a mistake of going on that one of those, like, real dating sites where you're trying to find, like, somebody to marry.
Right.
Or whatever. But I mean, all I knew was like, it was like Match.com or something.
Christian
Bale. But like, where a couple of the people on there, it said like, they will not date anybody with kids because, sorry, but that's just something you do on your own with somebody.
Yeah.
The first time. They didn't want to date anyone who had a kid. And I was like, it made me really sad. Like, nobody's going to want to date me because I have a kid. And then, which was weird because then when I met like Gretchen and all her friends, like she even had a friend who like she found out I had a kid. She was like, she goes, oh, instant family.
Yeah.
Like, her friends are totally different about it. We're like, oh, that's awesome. He already has a kid. So, you know, he's going to be
halfway there.
Dad. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know how two things. I don't know. One, had I gotten divorced a little later when,
yeah,
you know, Tinder was around, how that would have changed me. Or had I started comedy before I got engaged?
Ooh.
I don't know what happened.
I never would
have been around, you know.
I've thought about the whole Tinder game because even I, when I got married,
right.
It was just like, okay, Cupid, and it was slow. Mm-hmm. Like, it was nothing too crazy, like what's going on right now.
You're right.
And I don't know. I don't know if I can do it.
Man, yeah. I never got to do any of the online dating, but that shit was like, it just always living vicariously through like Jay and everybody else. It was like, damn, like it's not only is it expensive because you're paying for all these dates, you know, and it's just like you're with.
Women are really independent until they're getting taken out on a date. Huh?
Yeah,
like, no, I'm an independent woman. Oh, you want me to pay?
For real. Oh man!
Yeah, I've a few times of my single friends have given me their phones,
just to see,
and you know, I get to swipe left, swipe right. I'm just like, what? No, this is crazy.
I was looking at Bo Johnson's phone. He was like, "Yeah, man, I'm on this shit," and I'm like, "Oh, dude, this is interesting." You know, just like trying to figure out. Like, I don't think I could.
Like, you know, there's a romanticized part of it that I was like, that'll sit there and like, oh, I missed out. But then I remember even just those 6 months without anyone that was like, Well, this is horrible.
Yeah.
Like, like, what? You got to talk to them and try to figure out what they, if they like. And especially, like you met your wife in college, right?
Yeah.
It's so easy to meet someone in college. Mm-hmm. Like, you're, like, interested. You have all this free time between. You think you're super busy with all your classes. But you don't realize, like, oh, this is. I can't imagine having to wake up. Especially, I was self-employed even when I met Grandpa.
Right.
I can't imagine someone going to work at 8 o'clock and getting off at 5. And then trying to go meet somebody.
Right.
Yeah.
That you're going to, like, become a couple with. That sounds horrible. Like, I want to do things. It's hard for me to even imagine, though, without, like, having a kid kind of jades how it is. So, like, I you have way more free time without a child.
I'm too lazy to figure out somebody else's bullshit right now, though.
You know? Yeah.
It's like,
dating is hard.
It is
hard. Yeah.
But.
You know what, guys? Dating is hard.
Yeah.
Dating hard, you know.
Human beings. I was watching this video the other day. The title of it is Why You Will Marry the Wrong Person.
Oh.
Mm. Okay. Was this on Facebook or was this on, like?
It's you can find it on YouTube.
Okay.
You just type in that. But I thought it was interesting because it was kind of like to your point about, I mean, someone saying dating is hard sounds like a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Right.
But there's more to it, and that video goes into some of it.
Okay.
Basically, it just talks about how, like, we're all wonky or weird.
Right.
And, like, your friends and family know how weird you are.
Right.
But they won't tell you.
That's a good point.
So when you meet somebody, it's their job to figure out what that shit is.
Oh, okay.
And most of the time, you can hide that shit.
Right.
It's only up until you date for a long time and or move in and or get married that every piece starts to come out.
Okay, and now people are so open, like, sexually about stuff. Like, I think before, if someone, you know, hey, I like getting into a diaper. And I want to breastfeed. Like, that's my thing.
Oh,
you wouldn't learn that until, like, 4 years into marriage, right?
Yeah.
And now
yeah.
it's like people put that on their profile. Like, I'm really into this. And so you got to, oh, okay.
Right.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
I just feel like everyone's so open now that you have to go with whatever sexual thing they like.
Yeah.
Before it was something like, oh, it came up in the marriage. Okay, well, you'll either do it or not. No, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
So they're like, well, all right. Okay. I'm just going to live with this, I guess.
Yeah.
That's my secret thing. Eventually we'll have an affair and we'll divorce. Yeah. But, like, now it's just like, there's almost in some ways no, like, mystery. How do y'all know what y'all want
right
away?
Yeah.
Like,
seriously.
There's no navigating on that.
And those open marriages, that shit is weird.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I have two. I mean, for them, it's not too different. But I have two neighbors.
Yeah.
They're gay.
Mm-hmm.
Two old guys. They were like 60.
Yeah.
And they're gardeners. So I see them outside all the
time.
And they look alike. They're both bald and 60. So we knew one's name was John.
Right.
But we're not sure the other guy. He told us one time, but we forgot.
Right.
So me and my wife, like, every time we walk by, they're nice. They say hi.
Yeah.
So a few weeks ago, we stopped. Me and my wife were like, you know, we got to straighten this out. We got to get this guy's name.
Yeah.
So we're like, hey, hi. He's like, oh, we say hi all the time. We know one of you is John.
Yeah.
But who's the other guy?
Yeah.
And he said, oh, that's Paul.
Okay.
And he's like, okay. And we're like, oh, and there's others. And it's like, yeah, we're in a polyamorous relationship. There's, like, two other dudes.
Oh, shit.
Who garden there, too.
Ringo
so,
and...
John Paul Ringo and...
Yeah, but he was so casual mentioning it. He's like, yeah, we was just us. Man. So there's, like, four guys.
Ringo and George.
And they're 60. Yeah, he was just casual, but he's like, yeah, it's like, we do.
That's crazy. Like, I mean, you know, it's normal to
it's
everybody.
Like Duck Goose.
Yeah, it's normal to to those guys, you know, and whoever's you know, in a polyamorous. But it's like, can you imagine dealing with the stress of, like, oh, you forgot my birthday, motherfucker, or oh, did you not remember to take the trash out? And it's just like, you can't do this.
Like, I'm really impressed with multitasking more and more. That seems like the ultimate multitasking task.
Right.
You know?
Oh, God, I couldn't do it.
Like, my anniversary is next week, and I keep remembering this.
Yeah.
Like, if having to memorize multiple anniversaries,
whew,
it's just impressive. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't have the apartment. I don't have the bandwidth for it.
Yeah,
anymore.
I'm just like, and you know, just you're dealing with people's emotions and
I feel
feelings.
Like usually, I do think like most of the time there are people that are single,
right?
But I mean, I know some that are not single, mm-hmm. but like, and I just do feel like I think you can't have too many kids because you just don't have enough room in your head to manage.
Yeah.
Too many relationships. Like I got a mouse and kids. I can't remember. Four people's anniversaries.
I mean, you've seen those families
separate.
With like 16 kids. I'm like, how do you even?
Yeah, no.
You have no relationship with anybody in the household. You know, it's like, get the fuck away from me, everybody. I just want to go sit on the chair.
Like, I love my family.
Yeah.
I like how you preface it.
There's like, but I have three kids now, and one of them's gone a week at a time.
Right.
And this is like enough for me. Like, I can't imagine. Like,
you're already outnumbered.
I can't do anything.
Yeah.
I can't do anything. Like, it just.
Yeah.
Someone's gonna. I mean, you got this one. One's finally just getting potty trained.
Right.
Almost got her there.
And you gotta work
the
on the
other
next
one's
one.
Just like learning to sit up.
Right. Ugh.
And the other one's about to, you know, middle school.
Yeah, that's
soon.
Tough too, right?
Middle school. She's gonna start.
You have to
dating.
Start dealing with puberty and all this other.
She tried to like mess with me about. She's like. So, Daddy, what if I got asked on a date? But you haven't. She's like, but what if I did?
Oh my God.
How would I just say no because I'm not allowed to date? I was like, I didn't say not allowed to date, but it'd be stupid to date.
Yeah.
How old is she? She's 11.
Like, yeah.
And then she's like, well, what if I did get asked out today on a date? I'm like, did you? She's like, maybe. Like messing with me. Finally, she didn't. She just wanted to see what I would.
Yeah,
see.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I drive you.
Yeah, there. Seriously, you can go.
I mean, you can't drive, so that's why I think it's silly to not be on a date. And she's like, you know, like, if you guys, what would you do? Like maybe a movie? I'm like, okay, well, I'll take you.
Yeah.
And then I'll sit behind you guys.
Exactly.
Like you sit far away. Like, no, I will sit behind you.
Exactly.
And or then next I will walk you.
You gotta check
to the restroom.
Right.
You gotta check the popcorn can at the bottom.
Always. Oh, man.
There will be no popcorn.
Exactly. No popcorn. No hot dog. No nothing.
I will have the concessions by me.
Exactly.
When you ask for something, I will pour you a little.
Man.
How far can you go though? If I'm
what
like, with this whole protection?
Yeah, kid. I mean, I guess like.
I don't know. I don't know. How far can I go?
Well, I mean,
I mean, until 18.
I think
it's,
well, okay.
18?
Yeah.
It's a ridiculous thing to date.
Right.
When you can't even, like, I think you have to have somewhat control of your emotions to a degree. Like, I can't.
Yeah.
Like, it's, 11 just seems, how can you date? Like, or when people go out together and they're holding hands, right? It's
not
like,
emotionally.
I'm like, fine, do that. But, like, what, a boyfriend? Of what? What's that mean? And okay, I just watched this eighth grade.
Yeah.
Oh, this girl who's in eighth grade, and there's just this heart wrenching moment in it. I don't want to ruin it for people, but it's just what an eighth grade girl has to go through.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want, you know. So you want to protect them, then, you know, you gotta get hurt though. You gotta get hurt because that's life.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be one of those parents that like shelters your kid too much because then they start to rebel when they're older, right?
I don't know what age. Like she asked, like, well, what age can I date? And I'm like, I don't know. I think once I'm there, I'll know.
Yeah. I think 16, right?
15. Yeah. It's going to happen, man.
Yeah. I know, but I'm like, well,
titty's going to come out.
Well, I feel like 16.
Her body would tell her when she's ready to.
16 feels like old. Like she should. Part of me will be like, "Oh, I'd love if she didn't date till 16." But they'll be like, "Oh, what's wrong?
Let me ask. This,
what's wrong
though,
with you? Why aren't you dating yet? Like someone should be asking you out. What do you mean?
Right?
Are you like,
well, let me ask you this. In Uganda, like, what's the age? The normal age of getting married out there?
Married?
Yeah, married.
Married. Actually, that one. Kind of takes a while. Probably 25.
Okay.
Arranged marriages?
No, like straight up like marriage.
Asking
somebody. I would say the ladies maybe between like 23 to 25.
Mm-hmm.
Guys could 30, 35.
Okay.
What?
Yeah, but as far as sexual stuff, you know,
12.
Dating and stuff, that one's it's an open
is it
field.
12?
No, I've heard, I mean, I went to boarding school,
mm-hmm.
in boarding school. I don't know what the concept of boarding school here
is. So is it all male or private all female? Or right?
There are different schools. Some are all male, all female. Some are mixed.
Private school. Okay. And you, I mean, did you private sleep there?
Yeah, but private school is a little, I think, right. As far as I know, boarding school here is kind of fancy. It's like,
yeah.
There mm-hmm. it's the opposite.
Mm.
It's where the poor kids go.
Boarding school?
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
It's like public school?
And you stay there
overnight. And you stay there.
Interesting.
Yeah. Wow. So anyway, my point being, you had all these kids in the same space. And
something's going to happen.
And yeah, stuff yeah, yeah. is going to happen. Right. Including, you know, gay yeah. interactions.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, and at that point, it's up in the air. You have all kinds of age ranges. You have from 5 to right. all the way to like 17.
Holy shit.
Confined in an environment.
You know, not very progressive in that. My understanding was African countries were not very accepting of gay lifestyles.
I didn't say they were.
Okay.
I just said if you put dudes in the same space for too long,
right.
and their hormones are kicking in,
are
they
gay,
get
gay
curious.
Or just like prison gay.
that's a good question.
So boarding school gay.
What's that?
Prison gay, boarding school gay.
You have both.
Okay.
You have both. Like I know, like. You know, he's probably not going to listen to this. Like, I have a friend that I went to school with in boarding.
Yeah.
And now he's here. He's in Boston. And finally, he's embracing himself. Back then, he was kind of on the border. And, of course, society was not accepting of it.
That shit is crazy to think that you went from, like, Uganda, where it's, like, probably it's not accepted, right?
Yeah.
To Boston, where it's not accepted. Right? Like, I mean.
Well, Boston has a huge pride.
They do. I mean, they vote very blue, but they think very red sometimes. Like, as far as, like, well, I guess more race.
Actually, Massachusetts was the first state to legalize gay marriage.
That's true. But yeah. I was just thinking, like, the law. Like, I'm just thinking about all those Boston guys that just call, like, you know, everything is the F word. You know what I mean?
It's
like,
okay.
It's very Friday.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with the R word. They don't.
What's the R word?
Retarded.
Oh. Yeah. That,
they
that's,
don't, like.
Yeah.
It is, again, it's a thing like, oh, I don't care.
Yeah.
It's just a word that's in my vocabulary.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because
it's very limited.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
despite the fact that you're surrounded by all these Ivy League schools.
Makes sense.
You have a lot of meatheads.
Yeah.
Amazingly. Yeah. That just right. It's just the words that are there, like, that they're not even, they don't mean the intent.
They don't mean what they, yeah.
They don't mean the intent. I mean, they're just really, they find just base ways of degrading somebody.
I didn't mean, like, when I called you a nigga, I didn't mean that you were a.
They would literally say that. They would do that. It's just a word.
It's just a word.
They're like the ultimate, like, everyone in Boston is basically that comic.
Right.
Who thinks that it should be okay to say the N-word.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Boston is full of the white guy who thinks he should be able to say the N-word.
Yeah, exactly.
That's everybody in Boston. Why not?
Why should not?
That's not. That's discrimination.
You can use a word, but I can't. What the
right.
fuck?
Discrimination. They don't. The only thing they don't like about discrimination there
mm-hmm.
is that it's like the longest word in the vocabulary.
Do I have to spell out the whole fucking thing?
That's why Red Sox is two. One word. Two words.
Three
syllables. We can't handle too many syllables. Red Sox. Patriots.
Oh shit.
Rough. Bruins. Now we gotta.
Did you hit all those?
Make it short. Like, did we? Did we get everything? I didn't get to talk about Trump, but hey, good job.
Yeah, that's a good
thing. Way to ignore that.
What about?
Where
that show where the guy showed up with the MAGA hat at the comedy?
Oh
yeah, Comedy Underground.
That was the one. What? Yeah. So what? The show we were on with Jay.
Wait, the one where the woman also told.
Yeah, they came up to.
Yeah,
Chris.
Yeah. Same show. Same exact
same
show.
Same exact show where she came up. She was like, I don't know. You're okay. For those of you listening, just get into it real quick. The show was, let's see, who was hosting it? It was Chris Mejia. Burungi went up and he did a guest spot of like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Had a great set. And while he's on stage, this girl comes over and it's her first time at a comedy club. And she's like, she comes up to Chris and she's like, well, you know, all your stuff that you were talking about on stage was, I don't know why you were like towing the line or like, you were on the fence about if, you know, I was black or if you're this. And I feel like you should just choose a side. And I'm like, I'm sitting here and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? This dude just had a great set. He told great jokes. And she's like telling him what he needs to do. And here's the thing. She says, can I give you some advice? But doesn't give him any advice. Just literally berates him. And
right.
And so I'm sitting over here and I'm like, well, you're going to fucking hate me. And I'm like, could you please go somewhere? Because you're like killing the vibe before I get on stage. It's just pissing me off. Right. And so I go
black
over.
Woman too, right?
Black woman,
yeah,
right?
Context,
and
yeah.
She, yeah, she was a lesbian. And her
there
and
were
her,
two.
There were two, right? Mm-hmm. So it was her and her lady.
Both black?
Both black.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And they're sitting in the corner. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Huge. Right? Huge, right? And so anyways, I'm just like, I got to go over here or else I'm going to like snap. And this is right before, you know, I'm trying to be in a good mood before I go on stage. So I go up and literally I'm on stage and I start getting into my shit. And then I think that I walked them. But as they walk out, they pull this guy's Make America Great hat off and just walk out with it. And
whoa.
And like, it was like, what the fuck? And so Jay gets on stage and he was like, dude, did they just take your fucking hat? And he was like, honestly, I'll be real with you. Like, you know, I'm not a political guy, you know, like my whatever. But he was like, if anybody doesn't need a Make America Great hat, it's you, sir, because you have a mullet and everything about you says Make America Great. but he was like, but still, it's fucking crazy that somebody would take your hat and all this shit. And it's just like,
yeah,
I was like, that's some of them too woke people. You know what I mean?
You know what actually happened?
What's that?
The ladies left separately. Mm. There was two punk kids, white kids,
mm-hmm.
wearing all black.
Oh, shit.
They're the ones that snatched their hat.
Really?
Yeah, so the ladies came in at the door because I was working the door first. Yeah.
Look
so
at the profiling motherfucker. Right?
that's what Jay said.
He's assuming the black.
No, like I said, it was confusing even to me at the door.
Yeah, yeah.
Because what happened, those ladies came in, they're like, oh, we've never been to a comedy show.
Mm-hmm.
And then they even asked me when poetry is.
Oh, shit.
You know? So yeah.
You're like, our headlining poet is Jay Hollingsworth.
No, actually, I try to be, usually when people come to the door, you know, every once in a while, I'll crack a few jokes here.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I cracked them, they
didn't
were,
even laugh
they
at
were,
the least.
They were not getting it that I'm trying to lighten up the mood.
Yeah.
So, you know, right. I could sense there was some trouble coming.
Yeah.
And then the trouble happened with Chris.
Right.
And it was so funny when, after my set, I went back to the door and they walked by.
Yeah.
Usually people, whether happy or not, they'll check in and be like, yo, this show is whack or this show is great.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't. They just
man
walked by. I was like, you know what? I didn't want to talk to you either.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But right after they walked out,
mm-hmm.
I see the two punk kids
mm.
run excited, like
oh,
like
shit.
There was a stampede downstairs.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, what are these kids? And then I see four goons,
oh, shit.
White goons, run by. I was like, those two groups did not come together. Actually, the three groups did not come together.
Yeah.
The girls, then there's two kids, and then the four dudes, and then another stray dude.
Yeah.
Runs by again, who did not come with any of the three.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like Scooby Doo, you know, where like, what is going on?
Crazy.
So the last kid that was in the back comes back, and I ask him, like, yo, what is going on?
Mm-hmm.
And he was hesitant for a bit, but I really wanted to know because I couldn't put this story together. So I asked him, and he's like, oh, yeah, the punk kids grabbed the trumpet hat from these guys, and I was going to see if they're going to beat the shit out of him.
Oh, shit. That's crazy. Okay.
Yeah, so it was just, it was, poof.
Clarity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not so sad about the hat.
Yeah, I'm not either. I mean, who could give a fuck?
Take it.
Well, I mean, you still shouldn't be taking a motherfucker's property. Like,
I don't know.
Yeah.
They took our freedom, man.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, fuck that.
They give us their names.
Okay. Hey, it's been awesome having you
on.
Yeah,
thanks for
being man, it was fun. I had a blast.
Nothing coming up, right? You don't have any open mics you want to promote?
No, I'm going to San Diego and then L.A. I'm doing the Burbank Comedy Festival.
Oh, yeah.
In second week of August. But
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and then I'm doing a couple shows in San Diego, and then that's it.
That's right. Mostly. You're going to be a multi-state West Coast comedian.
I went to Bellingham recently, so yeah.
How was that?
You know, it's the same state, right?
No, it's Canada. No.
Canada.
No, it's not Canada.
Almost Canada. The first thing I told the crowd, I was like, yo, guys, I was driving here, and I saw the traffic sign say you were like 5 miles from Canada. And they're like, no, it's 10. And I was like, oh, how does it feel being 10 exits away from health insurance? They laughed at it. So I was like, all right, cool. We're cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, Burbank Comedy Festival. And our listeners down there, Check out Burundi.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
All right. Black and a half.
Black and a half.
Black and a half.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.
Live long, prosper, and prosper.